What's up, Beardos? Andy here, coming at you with our first ever little bit of bonus content. And so what this is a conversation that I was a part of on stage at the NEPA Veg Fest in Scranton, Pennsylvania, a couple weekends ago. I was joined by Jamie Kay, who is just fantastic, insightful, very thoughtful human being, also the face and mastermind behind Save the Kales, and a new project that y'all will be hearing about soon. And we had a conversation about fat shaming in the vegan community, how we can identify those things, why they're detrimental to our movement, and what we can do to do better and thus create a more inclusive and wide-reaching movement, and therefore one that will save more animals. And this definitely plays off of some of the themes and topics we talked about towards the end of our recent interview with Carol Adams. And I think it was a pretty productive conversation. I know a few people, upon hearing that we were going to be doing this, were asking if we could record it or live stream it or something. So just threw a phone up right in the middle of the stage and hit record. Not the best audio quality, but certainly good enough that if this is something that you're interested in, I hope you get something out of it. As we start to do more public speaking things of this nature, going to try and record them, release them as bonus content. So let us know if this works for you, if you like this idea, if you want more stuff like this. You can always hit us up, Instagram, Facebook, and most preferred, thebeardedvegans@gmail.com. So with that said, let's get right to it. And this is myself and Jamie Kay live at the NEPA Veg Fest.
So this is exciting, first ever NEPA Veg Fest, and I'm excited to be one of the first two speakers at the NEPA Veg Fest. So thank you to all the organizers for putting this together. This is really exciting. My name is Andy Tavar. For the last 2 years, I've been the co-host of the Beard Vegans podcast. We release every Wednesday. We do ethical discussions about the gray areas of veganism. And for the last 6 years, I've been the owner of Compassion Company, vegan clothing line. I live in my van, I travel the country going to veg fests nationwide. But more importantly than any of that stuff, I've been vegan for the last 10 years. Now, when I say that to people, I often get what I refer to as the look. And I bet there's a lot of people out there that have received that look themselves. It's a thing where you tell someone how long you've been vegan, or even just that you are vegan, and then they check you out. Sometimes it's real subtle. Sometimes it's very obvious. You can tell they're doing a little bit of math and they're going, this guy does not look like what I think a vegan is supposed to look like. So I am Andy, I am a fat vegan, yes, and we're here to talk about that. I'm gonna tell you two quick stories about this look to say this does happen. The first is, a couple months ago, I was at Vegetarian Summerfest and was checking this guy out. He was buying a couple of shirts and he asked me the first question that precedes the look, which is, are you vegan? And here I am wearing a shirt that says vegan. I'm surrounded by a wall of vegan t-shirts. And I could just be some random hired guy. But I know I get asked this question significantly more than my slender friends who come and help me out at the table. And I say, of course. Because I think, of course everyone should be vegan. All things being equal, everyone should be vegan. Say, of course, let's normalize it, right? He follows that up with, well, how long have you been vegan for? And I tell him, 10 years. I actually just hit my 10-year vegan anniversary. And he immediately says to me, thank you. He immediately says to me, so why aren't you at your ideal body weight? Yes, right? You can feel how awkward that is for someone to just say that right to your face. I'm used to getting nasty comments online, but only happens in person every now and again. And to say it so bluntly like that, I mean, ideal body weight is such a loaded phrase, but I immediately shoot back, I am at my ideal body weight. And he gets kind of flustered, and he's like, well, I mean, society's ideal. And we have a conversation from there. Just last weekend, I was at the Toronto Veg Fest, the largest vegan gathering in North America. Guy comes up, he's kind of athletic, and he goes, are you vegan? And I say, of course. And he said, are you really vegan? And I was like, you got me, I'm just here for that sweet vegan money, right? And there's a lot of things that people say that are like really nasty, especially online, especially on Facebook when that filter is removed. I could talk about those, but I feel like a lot of people out there realize that those things are not good things to do. I picked out these examples because I think they're sort of a more subtle yet insidious example of what we're here to talk about today. And that's this constant sort of judging and assessing of bodies in a movement that is supposed to be about liberation for animals, but somehow has turned into a movement about diet and body size and health. Not saying that those things can't be incorporated in, but we want to talk about the mechanisms behind them, talk about why you should all care. Like, we're at a vegan festival right now. Why should we care? How does this affect the animals? We're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about some solutions to dealing with those things. But in order to do that, I am super honored to be joined by a very special guest who you might know her as the face of Save the Kales. You might know her as the physical embodiment of a ray of sunshine. Please welcome Jamie Kay to the stage. So Jamie,
I just told
a couple stories about what I have experienced as a vegan that's not of average body size, right? I'm wondering if you have any experiences like that that you might be willing to share with the crowd.
I have a lot. So, several years ago, I started a TV show called Save the Kales that aired in the Lehigh Valley area. And as someone with a history of my own body stuff, eating disorders, body dysmorphia, to be on television where people are looking at all of you was sort of a very vulnerable position. And furthermore, everything exists on YouTube, you know, infinitely till the end of time. So people can sort of forever and ever go there and find it. And we all know about internet comments. But one of the moments that stands out the most for me was the very first time that the very first episode of our show ever aired. So I was like 28 and have always wanted to, like, you know, since I was a little tiny thing, like, wanted to host a TV show. And here we are, we got to do it. It's about vegan stuff. The whole show is vegan, which is super cool. And I was so proud of myself. And the very first episode that aired, it's a half hour long, within 20 minutes, I had received an email from someone saying, "How can you be vegan and still be so fat?" And I should say too that I'm a plus size person. I have a lot of privilege in that I still have a, you know, there are a lot of people who have bodies that are larger and I'm sure get it much worse than me. But it took 20 minutes. Like, I don't even know how you, made a fake email address and everything. And I remember in that moment thinking, like, I don't know if I could do this. And I think that where that intersects with our activism is that our work is continually devalued based on if our appearance doesn't match up to where people think it should be. And so, you know, I went on this great journey, this great advocacy for animals through this show and through lots of other things like other veg fests and speaking and blogging. And I almost didn't do any of those things because someone was making fun of how I looked. And that's very sad. This is very sad.
Definitely. I had an experience where I posted a photo of myself modeling my own clothes, and the very first comment was "fat vegan sad face," and I wrote a post about it. It went
yes,
viral, like, more than I could have expected.
So
let's talk about this. Let's kind of talk about, like, the underlying mechanisms behind all of this stuff. And, you know, we bring up these stories not to say, oh, feel bad for us and pity us, but because we think that these are examples that so many people, whenever I do write about these things online, over and over again, I get messages from people, "I've experienced the same thing. I'm scared to tell people I'm vegan. I don't want to be an activist because I'm told I have to look a certain way." So we bring these up just as illustrations of what's kind of going on. But let's kind of talk about what the underlying mechanisms are. So I think a big term a lot of people hear is, like, fat shaming. I don't know if you could kind of explain to the audience, it maybe seem obvious, but kind of explain what that is. And maybe do you have any examples of how that manifests itself within the vegan movement?
Well, fat shaming is, I guess, seems obvious, as you said, but the idea that your body size is somehow reflective of you being worthy of respect and the things that you say and stand for and care about, it determines whether or not people accept them or think that they are valid. And how that manifests in veganism is that, I wish I knew when this happened. But I think because a lot of times being vegan is so tied into this health community, I suspect that a lot of it came from when vegans would talk about veganism from an animal standpoint. By and large, although people love animals, they don't really care about that. But if you can come up with some sort of like arbitrary statistic about how going vegan will help you lose 20 pounds, everybody suddenly gives a shit, and they did not before. So, you know, what does that mean? I think that probably it got tied in because of living in a society that glorifies weight loss and thinness. And so now here's a thing that a lot of people focus on is food only, right? We know veganism is not just food, but we do love food. We gotta eat lots of multiple times a day. That's certainly a big part of it. So somehow I think that got sort of infused, and people, when they would talk about veganism as being a health-focused or health-driven thing, that got people to pay attention. Then we have the layer of, does body size and health, do they have anything to do with each other? I don't think that they do necessarily. They can, maybe, sometimes, I don't know, but not period, end of sentence. Like, it's not factually true to say that thinness equals health and fatness equals unhealthiness. I don't know. What do you think?
I think in terms of that, for me, a lot of it is, I think that, you know, as vegans, we feel like we need to have all these answers, and we need to prove every statistic, when really, all that we should truly need to explain to someone why we're vegan is, I don't think we should use animals, they're not ours to use, so I'm not gonna anymore. And the same thing is, like, we get caught up in, like, proving that body size and health are not correlated, and I'm like, I agree with that. I think everyone should read a great book called Even Vegans Die. It explains a lot of that stuff. But I think that all like at its core, it's kind of like, why do we even need to prove these things? Why do we need to prove that because of our body size, we shouldn't be treated differently? Like, doesn't everyone deserve to be comfortable in their own skin?
That's such a good point, and something that I thought about a lot when people will discredit a vegan message based on how someone looks. I'm pretty sure this is like one of the only sort of social justice-y movements where that happens in. Like, I've never gone to like a pride event and someone's been like, you're too fat to be queer, or you're too fat to care about, you know, homophobia being eradicated. Like, I've never heard of somebody going to like a Black Lives Matter protest and being like, well, we're glad you're here, except that then we saw what you looked like, and so now you should please leave and not be associated with our movement anymore. But it happens in veganism, and it happens in animal rights, and it's infuriating.
Yes. And so that's kind of some of the ways that I think these things manifest, what we've been talking about, and something that is really prevalent is this idea, you have to have a specific body type in order to go out there and represent for the animals. Mm-hmm. I've seen this in countless books, I've seen this in countless presentations, written down that if you want to be out there on the front lines, that you must be a fit, sexy,
yes,
muscular vegan.
Yes.
So I think that's one way that manifests itself, and the other way is, of course, the fact that, you know, it's become a movement about food, it's become a movement about weight, mm-hmm, and even mainstream, there's a lot of mainstream groups out there. You know, PETA had a billboard that said save the whales, and it was fat bodies on the billboard, things like that.
Grown.
You know, sort of playing off these stereotypes that exist in society. So that's kind of the ways that it manifests itself in the movement. And let me ask you, like, why should, say there's someone out there that doesn't get exposed to this stuff, they have a very average size or like slim body, you know, why should people care about this thing? How does it negatively affect the animals? How does it negatively affect the movement?
First of all, no one owes anyone else their health, and certainly not their body size. But like, you know, when we talk about health and we say like, oh, if only people eat this certain way or didn't weigh so much, then fill in the gap with like, I don't know, ways that we would save money on taxes, like all these like ridiculous things that people come up with. But we don't owe that to anyone, maybe to ourselves, potentially to our family or people that we care for. But that's it. Certainly not strangers all across the world, everywhere. And I think that it forces people to stay silent and not use their voices, and that doesn't help any sort of movement, you know, continue to be further and louder and make actual progress. So I would imagine that for anyone who's vegan, whether you did it for health reasons or otherwise, it's clearly something you believe in, right? We live in a culture that is not vegan. So to be vegan is a lot of, you know, reading labels and effort and work and considering what you're purchasing and what you're using and how you're going through your daily life. And it discourages people from seeing the possibility It discourages people from wanting to share their experiences, and I think that one of the best ways, just across the board in general, as humans, that we learn and we grow is by sharing our actual experiences. So if someone feels like they don't look the right way and that someone else will discredit their veganism and potentially even veganism as a whole, they're not going to talk about it. And they're not going to blog about it. They're not going to start a cool Instagram page. They're maybe not going to want to go to volunteer because they're going to show up at a space and feel like everyone's going to judge their body and like, why are you here at the Animal Sanctuary Volunteer Day when you look like that? So aside from the fact that it's just gross and it's disrespectful, which like maybe we can just start there with respecting people all across the board, it silences voices. A big part of being vegan is to give a voice to animals who are voiceless, who cannot speak for themselves. So it does the opposite of that. It sets the movement back.
Absolutely. And of course, by extension, that means think about how many advocates are not out there helping animals. Mm-hmm. So it does harm animals. And I think that it's important for us to have a movement that has like a wide diversity of representation. We're up here, of course, talking about body sizes. For me, that's the thing that affects me and I can speak to my truth. But of course, that goes for race and sexuality and ability and all these other things as well. You know, it's not like we're saying we shouldn't have vegan athletes out there advocating, right? Because those vegan athletes will speak to other athletes, and that's awesome. But they're not going to speak to every single person. I don't expect that my body is going to, or my words are going to influence the entire world to go vegan, but I'm going to influence some people to go vegan. You're not going to influence everyone, but you're going to influence some people to go vegan. And a little story about a time that I used to do the 10 Billion Lives tour. We traveled the country paying people $1 to watch a 4-minute video about treatment of animals on farms. We had a conversation with people afterwards, and I would talk to a lot of bigger dudes when I did that, and I more times than I can count, I had people tell me, like, I've been interested in this, but I didn't think I could do it because I thought that you had to do yoga and drink green smoothies every morning and be an ultra marathon runner.
Yeah.
Right? But I see you look like me, you look happy, you look pretty healthy, you're thriving, mm-hmm. and I think I could do this now. So I know that from having tens of thousands of conversations with people that this is true. And I'm sure there are some people that, like, I wasn't the best person for them to talk to all the time. Mm-hmm. But just because we have this view that, like, the athlete is the best person to talk to everyone, I think that we need to kind of reject that. And I think it's important to recognize we got to know our audience. Mm-hmm. Just like recently, there's an article that came out that's like, you shouldn't have tattoos if you want to be vegan. You need to wear a suit and all this stuff. It's like, what about all the people with tattoos out there?
Yeah.
Don't they want to talk to someone that's tattooed? They don't want to talk to some normie in a suit, you know? So I think that that's something that we lose out on tremendously when we tell people you have to fit into a specific mold in order to be vegan and to advocate for vegans.
Yeah, and that's real. Like that, I remember when I started blogging, it was in like 2009, which was like sort of smack in the middle of blogging's heyday. And every vegan blog that I went to was either very, very, it was exclusively animal rights, so it was about like animal testing and protests and videos and links and that kind of thing, or it was food lifestyle based, but it was like, you know, thin white lady in expensive LuLaRoe leggings with her $9 organic juice going to a yoga class. And I was like, well, what if that's not you though? Like, that's so weird. But it was over and over and over and over and over again. And in fact, if anyone's interested, just Google the word yoga and see what comes up. It's going to be a bunch of skinny white ladies, which is also funny because yoga didn't come from America. But I don't know how that became like the face of it. But I remember even being like, I don't even know if I can say that I'm a vegan blog because people are going to come here and be like, what? Like, this girl isn't that. And I remember feeling like I didn't know if I had a place because I didn't do those things. So like, where's my place in this movement if I don't do those things or look that way? And also feeling like I would be letting down the animals if I didn't do those things or look that way. Like, not only would I not be a voice in the movement, but I would actually maybe somehow be harming it because I would look like a terrible representation and therefore like invalidate it, which is a really terrible feeling to have.
Absolutely. And how do you respond to people if they tell you that? Like, you have to look this specific way.
Well, I've gotten a lot better at it now. I don't know. I mean, I think that it's been very important for me over the years to sort of curate the information that I take in, whether it be social media, friendships, conversations that I'm a part of. When people talk about body size and appearance and weight, to chime in and, you know, I don't want to say like correct people per se, but to sort of add this other perspective. Actually, like, being, you know, a fat person doesn't automatically make you unhealthy. Also, we live in a society that puts fat people and people in larger bodies at a massive disadvantage, because everywhere they go, they are oppressed, and there's this bombardment that they're terrible and wrong and bad. And we know that things like dieting doesn't work, and yo-yo dieting and gaining weight and losing weight and all of that stuff, like, that plays into health too. I'm often very deeply perturbed by how much people talk about health and do not factor mental health into that, because we do a whole number on our brains when we start associating our value and worth with the way that we look. I don't know why that's never in the question. It's like, go to more yoga classes, drink more green smoothies, but if you feel terrible about yourself when you go home, I don't know.
Just try harder,
yeah. You're not
just be happy.
Buy more expensive leggings.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. I think there's definitely a massive lack of emphasis on self-care within this movement. Mm-hmm. And I think that is important. A lot of the stuff we're talking about is important, because it's kind of like if the oxygen mask dropped down, you got to put yours on first before you can help other people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, who wants to be a part of a movement where they're constantly being judged for their bodies, or being judged for how they look, or, you know, their skin, whatever it might be. And so we want people in this movement. I mean, just in general, we want people feeling good, but we want advocates that are feeling good and are out there and are confident with themselves. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to do that if we continue to reinforce these things.
And a lot of it comes from other vegans, which is really upsetting.
Yes.
I mean, like, the vegan on vegan hate stuff is very, it's very sad to me. But yeah, a lot of it comes from that too. People who have their own sort of self-righteousness about the way that they live and the way that they think that everybody else should live and look. And if you fall outside of that, then you're doing it wrong, and they will tell you,
yes.
As you discussed earlier.
Yes, absolutely. So we're not just up here to sort of complain about things, right? Mm-hmm. We want to talk about, like, what we can all do better. How can we rewire ourselves? What actions can we take? Like, what suggestions do you have? Both, I guess, perhaps on a personal level, or maybe even if someone has an organization or an event they're doing, mm-hmm. Do you have any suggestions?
I think I try to go into everything with the expectation that people are not intentionally coming from a place to be harmful. It takes a lot of effort and time to disassociate from the idea that that body size and health and maybe even veganism are all mushed together and somehow equate out to this one perfect final figure all the time. So I like to have conversations about it. I think I get I'm definitely more proactive about challenging the way people think, and sometimes it goes over and sometimes it doesn't. And I feel like the best that I can do, I'll just speak for myself because I'm not like an argumentative person who have anxiety for days, but the best that I can do is to maybe give people another way to think about something and hope that maybe they actually do. And then if someone else does that and someone else does that and someone else does that, with anything, right, that's how we make change. But for my own self-care, as I said earlier, I really make sure that everything that I consume supports me becoming the best version of myself. I think I've done a great job of learning a lot, and I like to share that when it's asked for and it comes up, but I'm not done. I have a lot to learn, as all of us do. So continuing to have conversations like this is really important, just to sort of validate all the thoughts that I have about it, as I'm sure with you as well.
Definitely. And I think that it's important for us to sort of do the individual stuff, but also hold the groups that are kind of the gatekeepers for the movement accountable. That post that I had mentioned that I had written about when I got that fat vegan comment was reposted by a couple of larger groups, and groups that I was like, you engage in the exact stuff I'm talking about right now, but cool that you're posting that. Maybe that means you're going to change. I even had a representative from one of those groups thank me for writing it and then get up on stage and do the things, like say you got to look a certain way to be a representative. So I think it's important for us to sort of hold those groups accountable and let them know. It doesn't have to be a mean, angry letter, but it can just be like a, you've let me down a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, just let these groups know that you don't want to see all this focus on weight loss all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, there's other things that we can talk about. And I think that, it, again, it just sort of points to this really failure to let people know this is about the animals. This is about, you know, the environment. And of course, a lot of people are going to feel good eating fruits and vegetables. Nothing wrong with that. Like, we should all be doing that for ourselves. But yeah, I think it's important to have those conversations with people. Mm-hmm. And I guess my other suggestion would be follow voices that talk about these types of things.
Yes.
There's not a lot of those that are both vegan and sort of in the fat positive, body positive space. Big Fat Vegan Zine, of course, is one of them.
Yeah, she's great.
She is great. And but I think also even putting information in our feeds from activists that might not necessarily be vegan, but still carry that perspective. It's important to have allyship with other movements just to like create those bridges and sort of inform our perspective and follow those people. Put them in your Facebook feed so you're getting that information every now and then. You can start to incorporate that into your own activism.
Yeah, and as a super small way to even to have conversations with people, if you can call them conversations, I run a vegan Facebook group in the Lehigh Valley area, and you know, people will sometimes say things like, "Oh, well, I came home and it was a real long day, so I just threw a veggie burger on." Oh, you know, like, don't, no one judge me, and I'll be like, "No one's judging you. Like, no one's judging you because you ate a veggie burger. Like, it's fine.
Yeah,
it's fine. We all have long days. We all want to do that." And I think there's almost like this weird pressure that like everything has to be made from scratch. You have to like cook your beans from dried beans and canned beans, and then that whatever the BPA in the can. And there's like, wow, like for a movement that's about liberation, we have so much criticism and like all of these rules of the way to be like the most perfect organic, local only, seasonal only, blah 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 blah, fit healthy yoga green smoothie vegan. It's so bizarre. It's about liberation.
Yeah, yeah. And if that's what you want to do, if you want to be the local green smoothie vegan, go for it.
Yes, because absolutely.
You should do what makes you happy. I think that we need to represent that this is a serious movement, but it's a joyful movement. It's a fun movement that embraces people, that embraces an inclusive perspective of the world.
Yeah, Colleen Patrick-Goudreau often talks about that it's a movement of abundance, and that when people go vegan, they start going, oh, well, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't eat that, I can't go to this place anymore. But really, it's about abundance. And I know for myself and for a lot of people, you hear that when you go vegan, you suddenly eat so much more food than you ever had before. You try food from other cultures and like ingredients. I never had an avocado or anything with avocado in it till I was vegan, which seems like blasphemous now. But yeah, there is a lot of abundance, and there's room for all of us. And if our end goal is that it's about helping animals and helping move the whole earth, right, and like this vision for the universe forward, how are we going to do that when we're judging each other?
Absolutely.
I don't know.
Absolutely.
We can't.
Show compassion for your fellow human being.
What a concept.
This whole talk could just be summed up to don't be a jerk.
Don't be a jerk.
You know,
be a like, nice person.
Like you said, you know, the people that I talked about in the beginning, the look stories.
Yes.
I don't think those people are jerks. I think that they've sort of been failed by a movement, right?
Yeah.
And so we do need to kind of reserve the judgment of those things,
That's true.
The conversations.
It's a good point, Andy. I'm up here getting real angry telling people not to judge other people and then feeling a little self-righteous and judgy myself. So thank you for the calling me in.
Well, I do think we are coming up on the end of our time here.
Okay.
I wonder if you have any closing thoughts on the subject.
I think it's just really important to seek out resources. I know that you, I'm sure anyone who's listening, who follows your podcast or will be listening to this, can turn to you for resources. Not to put you on the spot, but I think just sharing what we know, because there's unfortunately not a lot comparatively to all the other information that exists out there about being vegan. So make sure that you, fill all of the places that you take in your news and your information and your thoughts with the sort of thoughts that are going to support this idea.
And so if people want to follow you on social media, where can they find you, Jamie?
Yes, if they want to follow me on social media, I have a exclusively food-based Instagram account that is Save the Kales. It's save_the_kale. And then my own personal one, where I will be releasing some info soon about upcoming projects, is Hello Jamie K on Instagram. And Facebook and all that other stuff, Save the Kales on all the things.
Right on. And you can follow me at The Beard Vegans on Instagram or Compassion Company on Instagram. Got my booth back over there. Feel free to come say hi if you'd like. Thank you all for your ears. Thank you very much for listening. This has been a pleasure to have this conversation.
Yeah, it was good. Thanks, Andy.